It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are with another sunless day, broadcasting live from the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump, Virginia, Stan. This is The Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us over on the interweb tubes. And that's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. I, myself, am going there now. Hi, I'm Bob. And it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. And there's some real youches in the stack. I don't know why, but one of those old Tin Pan Alley songs popped into my head with alternate lyrics earlier today. In the morning, in the evening, ain't we got dumb? Yeah, we do. And lots to prove it this evening. As we march through these manifestations of truly, truly thorn in the side inducing right-wing intellect. But every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this one is no different. And so, consequently, thanks go out this evening to our 13th of the month subscribers. Yes, because it is the 13th of February, 2020. And so thanks go out to Gary and Gaia and to Greg. Thank you very kindly, both of you, our subscribers for the 13th of the month. Gary and Gaia used to be the loneliest day of the month for subscribers, so Greg jumped in to provide a little company on the 13th. You could, too, if you'd like. All you got to do is go to headon.live, click on Contribute, and then check that little box that says make this happen every month or what have you. And thanks to John for jumping in on the fundraising this evening. Thank you so very kindly. And so our fundraising goal for the evening is a mere $275. We're just $75 away from being caught up with yesterday, and then $200 for today. And then maybe no community-made miracle for Friday on the front porch. And there's a challenge on the table this evening, courtesy of Kat in Ohio. Yeah, and hard to argue with this one. I don't argue with challenges, as a matter of fact. We appreciate them because it makes things a little bit more fun. And this one in particular, I haven't seen one like this since Chris in Germany's minimalist, elegant, fuck Trump challenge. Kat says, please rapture all the evangelicals and take Trump with you challenge is on the table. I'll match all contributions during this show. Good luck. Wow. Okay. So that we'll keep track through the course of the evening, and then I'll let Kat know. And that was actually yesterday, and I missed the message. So we'll carry it over. We'll carry it over to this evening. Okay? And yes, I know exactly what she's talking about. How can we miss them if they won't go away? Thank you, Kat. I'm sorry I didn't get to it last night, but hopefully it'll work out nicely this evening. So, yeah. Thorns in the side. For this we have to go, and it's one of those. Hey, at least it's not. At least it's not Alabama. Hey, at least it's not Mississippi. Hey, at least it's not West Virginia. Yeah. We go to Tennessee for this. The great state of Tennistan, those brilliant people who sent Marsha Gedneth Blackburn to be a member of the United States Senate. My, oh my, oh my. There has been a movement in the it's kind of worldwide. But there's a movement out there to stop taxing the sale of feminine hygiene products because it's unreasonable and it's kind of unfair because it's almost, you know, you can't, if you're a member of like half the species, you can't get along without these things. And so the movement reached Tennistan. Because a lot of the people who live in Tennistan are women folk. And Tennistan has one of those tax-free holiday thingies. It's a set period of time when there's no sales tax. The state sales tax holiday happens every year beginning at 12:01 a.m. on the last Friday in July and ending at 11:59 p.m. the following Sunday night. So it's a weekend. So in 2020, it would begin at 12:01 a.m. Friday, July 31st, and end on Sunday, August 2nd at 11:59 p.m. And they wanted feminine hygiene products to be included in the general tax holiday. Well, you know, of course, that the state of Tennistan is controlled by good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual maggots. So, tampons, sanitary pads, the like, seemed perfectly reasonable to say, well, they should be tax-free, too, for that one weekend. Of course not. Enter good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Republican John Hensley. John Hensley has no idea what it's like to be a female, nor does John Hensley appear to have much interest in even remotely finding out. No, this Republican said, I would think since it's a sales tax holiday, there's really no limit on the number of items anybody can purchase. I don't know how you would limit the number of items someone could purchase. Generally speaking, in Tennistan, there's a 7% sales tax on menstrual products. And the some economic groups, you know, think tanks, whatever, have calculated the average woman in Tennessee spend about $120 a year on pads and tampons. And that by taxing those things, on an annual basis, it brings into the coffers of the state of Tennessee $133,000. So what John Hensley is worried about is that them women's will use the state tax, sales tax holiday to buy all their, all them things at one time and then probably stockpile them or maybe sell them on the tampon black market. Because, of course, because he's a Republican. Because he has a brain the size of a goddamn grape nut. You know how they are. It'd just be walking down the aisle with the jitney plum chock-a-block full of all them things that I don't even want to think about, let alone legislate about. My God, I come here to control women's bodies, not to sit there and think about how the damn things work. I wish this was a story from The Onion. It's not a story from The Onion. Now, what is exempt on the tax holiday? Aerobic clothing, diapers, bandanas, bow ties, bowling shirts, cowboy boots, leg warmers, ponchos, religious clothing, and wedding gowns that cost $100 or less. You know, there's a lot of less than $100 wedding gowns in a state like Tennessee. Now, there's a Democratic senator named Brenda Gilmore, she being a female person and having a functioning brain. Well, she said that maybe discussing this sort of thing is a little bit awkward for the fellers. But they's going to have to talk about it anyway. And she went on to point out that economically disadvantaged women, poor women, face humiliation every month when they can't get access to these necessities. The Republicans were ready to just dismiss this out of hand, but out of an abundance of not wanting to wind up in the newspaper like they done did, they decided to let people who advocated for the exemption for these products have a little more time to put together all their data. Really? No. What they wanted to do was push it out off, put it further out on the calendar, so that maybe somebody wouldn't be watching the next time they said, well, sure, I mean, we'll tax exempt bowling shirts and necessities of life like that, but not them things. Uh-uh. No. Ew. And besides Jesus. I wonder if, I wonder if condoms are tax exempt on the holiday. Yeah, I know. It's not the same thing, but still. I know. Hey, I wonder if shotgun shells are tax exempt on the state on the Tennessee state tax holiday. Hard to know. Republicans. Can't live with them. Can't send them to the asteroid belt. Yep. And then, from up hereabouts. Well, wait a minute. I just got a photograph from Scary Jerry down South Florida. Pair of billboards. On the left, Miami Gun Show with a semi-automatic pistol. February 15th and 16th at the Miami-Dade Fairgrounds. And a website. That's the billboard on the left. The billboard on the right shows a picture of a Bible. The gun, as it turns out, is pointed at the Bible. Who is Jesus? Read Matthew's Gospel. And a phone number. And as Scary Jerry said, just a taste of the daily absurdities of living in South Florida. Duh. Florida man, Florida. Yeah, I know. Jeff on the left says, Bob, if these evangelical fuckers are so anxious to be raptured out of here, why the hell don't they just off themselves and go? They can check out anytime they like, and I'll help them fucking pack their bags for their one-way trip. You gotta be a little bit more creative than that, Jeff. We talked about this several years ago. We need a business. Rapture ready, so you don't have to worry about it. Kyle in Kentucky Stan. Oh, we're gone again. God, how I don't love Frontier. Thanks, Dave, for letting me know. Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, sigh, I'm so fucking tired of these goddamn Republicans deregulating every damn thing except women and their sexual and reproductive health issues. I have two younger sisters, and I'm scared shitless of what these assholes will make legal or how they'll regulate them more. Vote, all caps, vote these assholes out, every fucking one of them. I will second that motion, and we will send it to the floor for discussion. Absolutely. So, and I guess we'll be dealing with that through the course of the evening. What else? Hey, wow. Thank you very, very kindly for a have a show on me from Joan. Thank you, Joan. Thank you tremendously. That means we got $75 to go to finish this here Thorn in the Side Thursday. That's amazing. That's awesome. And $275 to finish the week. Thank you. Thank you indeed. So anyway, like I said, we'll toddle back up the road here because, you know, the relief can't be permanent. Come back up the road here to almost level West by Cole Trump Jr. Stan. And naturally, last night we had the racist governor of the state of West Virginia, Jim Justice. There's not a racist bone in my body. I'm just glad God made me Jim Justice and not Kunta Kinte. Yeah, I know. And a while back we had a story about a nasty, vulgar, hateful, bigoted, filthy, disgusting, right-wing turd of a legislator by the name of Keith Porterfield. Now, Keith Porterfield is blind. Keith Porterfield is blind because many years ago, when he was a studying of the theology over in Talibandiana, they went to a strip club, you know, to witness to the strippers, I guess. And Keith and his fellow theology student became so vulgar and nasty to one of the women that Keith wound up getting the shit kicked out of him so thoroughly that he went blind from, I guess, the head injury. Well, he's still a dickhead for Jesus. And he's a Republican, of course. And the people of Mercer County have sent him to the state house, and that causes one to ask some serious questions about the people of Mercer County, West Virginia. Because they know what a jerk he is, and they send him anyway. And you know, the best part of this story is it's a story of Republican-on-Republican violence. I mean, how's that not a win-win? So there's a delegate from Beckley, from Raleigh County, by the name of Brandon Steele. And apparently, after the legislative session a couple of days ago, Porterfield and Steele got into it in a parking lot that's near the Capitol building. And Porterfield, who should know better, one would think, if he could actually learn from his past mistakes, got mouthy with Delegate Steele and accused him of being drunk. And that Steele responded by being mean to him. Well, Delegate Steele now says that he will sue Eric Porterfield for alleging that he was drunk on the job and intoxicated in public in general. Porterfield, meantime, has filed a complaint with the Capitol Police, and he's asking the House leadership to kick Delegate Steele off of one of his committees. Steele, meanwhile, has witnesses, while Porterfield has nothing but his ability to tell whopping lies and generally be a vile excuse for a member of the human species. Steele said he's apologized. Porterfield doesn't care. And he's demanding punishment for Delegate Steele. Now, why did all of this happen? Because Porterfield said that he would support a particular bill. Porterfield said he would support a particular bill and then left the room and didn't come back to vote on it. Steele, meanwhile, said everybody knows what Eric Porterfield is. We've had to deal with him for a year and a half. He's here for attention, not to do a job. Now, this is also the same guy who made some just disgusting and insulting remarks about the LGBTQ community. Jesus. But hey, it's two Republicans hating each other. What's not to love? And, of course, the national media got hold of it. One headline says, drunk lawmaker fights blind lawmaker in Capitol parking lot because West Virginia. Yeah, because West Virginia. Now, the bill in question was House Bill 4043. And it was about health insurance. And what it was going to do was kick the spouses of state employees off of state health insurance and make them get their own somewhere else. Now, the people who wanted to kick the spouses off the bill, they said, well, that's going to save us a bunch of money, like $45 million. It lost 11 to 11 because a tie is a loss in committee. If Porterfield had shown up and supported the bill like Steele claimed he would have, it would have passed out of committee. Meanwhile, Porterfield ran his disability right up the flagpole to see if anybody would salute. Remember, he's blind because he was a dickhead and got the shit kicked out of him. He said, we're here to make laws. We're here to do things the right way. If I had treated someone with a disability, a member of this house with a disability, the way I was treated last night, I'd want someone to take action against me. I think there needs to be further action taken on this. Oh, yeah, sure you do. Of course. Kyle in Kentucky Stan said, I ain't no racist. How can I be a racist when I'm the governor of a state that got some black people in it, Jim Justice? That's about the size of it. Kyle, meanwhile, said, I laugh at the Republican-on-Republican violence, and then I realize these are fuckers making our laws. Holy fuck. Well, luckily, Kyle, not yours, just mine. It's West Virginia. And then there's Jimmy in the Great Northwest. He says, Republican-on-Republican crime. Yep. Whatever shall we do about this Republican-on-Republican crime? It is a scourge that is tearing our nation to shreds. I don't know how, why, but somehow or another, oh, there it is, yeah. And by the way, Porterfield wears his maggot hat. And over at Wonkat, they pointed out that, yeah, he got his eyes gouged out in that brawl because he was such a dickhead. This is a guy who's used an anti-gay slur on the floor of the West Virginia House of Delegates in defending Milo Yiannopoulos, I guess Milo Yiannopoulos, or remarking about him. He referred to the LGBTQ community as the modern-day Ku Klux Klan, even though he wears the red hat that is recognized far and wide as being a synonym for a white hood. Yeah. Just another day in almost level West by Cole, Trump genius Stan. Bad day today for Jim Shorts Jordan. He's had a bad couple of days. Today there was a hearing in the House Judiciary Committee on the violence and sexual harassment that women working for judges have faced. Jim Shorts Jordan sat there for about an hour, and then all of a sudden he heard his mother calling or his dog eating his homework or something, and he had to get up and scurry out and didn't come back. It all may have been cutting a little too close to the bone, if you know what I mean, because previously, the day before, Well, over in Ohio, from whence Jim Shorts Jordan hails, they were having testimony about the horrifying decades long pattern of sexual abuse of young men by an Ohio State University doctor by the name of Richard Strauss. Strauss committed suicide, so Ohio State is now doing everything they possibly can to avoid having to write too big a check to the boys that he raped. And so they were having a hearing there in the state house on a bill that would allow the boys who were raped by Dr. Strauss to sue the Ohio State University for damages. Testifying before the House Civil Justice Committee, Adam DeSabato, who from the 80s to the early 90s was captain of the Ohio State University wrestling team, testified under oath to the committee that Jim Shorts Jordan, who was an assistant coach on that team at the time, and other members of the team, other officials of the team, all knew about the open shower team facilities where Dr. Strauss would go and do his disgusting things. Adam DeSabato said Jim Shorts Jordan's name out loud. And among other things, he said that Jordan called him repeatedly in July of 2018 when various and sundry papers, websites, and whatnot had quoted his brother, Michael DeSabato, saying that all the coaches knew about what Richard Strauss was doing to the boys. Adam DeSabato testified, Jim Jordan called me crying, groveling, begging me to go against my brother. That's the kind of cover-up that's going on there. Later on, he said, are you guys going to do what you're voted in to do? That's the only reason I'm here. Jim Shorts Jordan was there during the entire pendency of all of this vicious, hateful, violent rape. Because he was an assistant coach at the Ohio State University from 1987 to 1995 when this stuff was going on. There's somebody out there named Ian Fury who, for some reason, has so little self-respect that he's willing to be a spokescreep for Jim Shorts Jordan. And he said, it's just another lie. It's a lie. It's what it is. Congressman Jordan never saw or heard of any abuse, and if he had, he would have dealt with it. So then today, when they had that hearing in the House Judiciary Committee about more people getting sexually abused, more people being, being sexually harassed, well, Jim just couldn't take too much of it. And so he had to scamper. So this leads to the question, and it's kind of an exercise, if you will. When you have a cup of coffee in law school, they teach you about weighing the evidence, about relevance and prejudice and probity, and comparing witness testimony to other witness testimony and trying to determine who's telling the truth. And who, in fact, is credible. So here we have a spokescreep for Jim Jordan hooting like a barn owl that he didn't know nothing about it. In the meantime, it didn't happen. Didn't know anything about it. He would have dealt with it. That's what he would have done. He would have dealt with it. Well, defense of a president of the United States who has been credibly accused of rape by something like 24 women. One of whom Well, damn it. We're gone again. Well, that was certainly a pain in the ass. Frontier crashed again because Frontier, we suck. Probably accused Nitwit Nero of rape, sexual assault, sexual abuse, sexual harassment, unwanted contact and touching. Jim Shorts Jordan says all that didn't happen either, even though it looks like there's pretty compelling evidence that it did. Jim Shorts Jordan said that Donald Trump's phone call with Volodymyr Zelensky was perfect. And is among those who want to violate the law by outing the identity of a whistleblower. So, who do you think's more credible? Jim Shorts Jordan denying that he knew about the rape of young boys there in the wrestling and other athletic programs at The Ohio State University? Or the actual victims of those rapes? Realistically, Jim Shorts Jordan should resign. So here's the next big question. What's going to happen to him in November? And not even November. There's a primary coming up. Does he have a primary opponent in the Republican Party? Is Jim Shorts Jordan the best that the Republican Party in that district can come up with? And is there a credible Democrat who could challenge him and make him wear those rape allegations every day of his life? Yeah, Kyle's still trying to sort out Eric Porterfield. Kyle says, wait, we're the KKK because they want to purge us from society? Hashtag Republic Clan logic. Yeah. Dave from Talibandiana says, I got a question about Porterfield, Bob. Now, you'll recall that Dave reports to us from the blind and Talibandiana. Dave says, what the ever-living fuck? Now I believe in the disabled defending themselves. I believe that Republicans are crazy stupid because ignorance is curable. I further believe that legislators want to behave with a little bit of decorum. Here's the question, Bob. Steele or Porterfield, damn if the quarter can only land on its edge, then we don't win. It wasn't Porterfield, the blind guy, who wanted to have a license to carry because he wanted to go hunting. Never mind somebody to point a gun at the deer and tell him when to pull the damn trigger. How much money would it take to send some teachers and people who actually have some learning into his community to teach him that this idiot is bad for them? Teach them that this idiot's bad for them. Your buddy Dave from the blind, P.S. Jethro Bodine was not this goddamn stupid. One of these days, I got to have a long talk with that Porterfield. He'd just scream at you about Jesus and try to cast the demons out or, you know, accuse you of being homosexual or a lesbian, bi-gender, trans, queer. Because, of course. It's a lovely day. Of course it is. Now, one of the bigger stories out there is that John Kelly, the former chief of staff and racist, he's not a former racist, he's an active racist, but the former chief of staff has stood up for Lieutenant Colonel Alex Vindman. He said Vindman, upon hearing what Trump did trying to shake down the Ukrainians, he said Vindman did what we teach officers to do, for and Kelly's term, cradle to grave. He went and told his boss. Yeah. Well, this has Nitwit Nero in a furor. And for all we know, something near to a full-on meltdown. Because, you know, they print the president's schedule every day. And his schedule today didn't have him going anywhere. But then at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, he bugged out of the White House to parts unknown. And I think we still don't know where he went. Maybe it was round two of that physical that he keeps sort of impromptu having over at Walter Reed. There's really no way to know. But now, with John Kelly having said what he said, Nitwit Nero's losing his shit and tweeting about how it would be unloyal and illegal for him to talk about things that he knows about because me. And now, John Pornstash Bolton has come out in support of John Kelly and against Donald Trump. But he won't testify. He won't show up. He won't honor a subpoena. Regardless of what one may think ultimately of her decision in the matter, Chelsea Manning, last I checked, is still rotting in a jail cell for refusing to testify before a grand jury and honor a subpoena. Not John Bolton. Not Mick Mulvaney. Not Mike Pompeo. You know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. God, that just kills me every time. Yeah. Steve in New York says, Trump losing his shit. They took him to Chuck E. Cheese to calm him down. I wish that didn't make as much sense as it actually does to me. But no, John Bolton now says, in response to the following tweet, "When I terminated John Kelly, which I couldn't do fast enough, he knew full well that he was way over his head. Being chief of staff just wasn't for him." This guy was a freaking four-star general, but being chief of staff in the White House was over his head. "He came in with a bang, went out with a whimper, but like so many X's," and he spells that capital X apostrophe S, "he misses the action and just can't keep his mouth shut, which he actually has a military and legal obligation to do." He's not a member of the military anymore, stupid. "His incredible wife, Karen, who I have a lot of respect for, once pulled me aside and said strongly that John respects you greatly. When we're no longer here, he will only speak well of you." Wrong. So he drags John Kelly's wife into it, thinking that he can create a little chaos there inside that marriage. Pornstash Bolton, on the other hand, stepped out and said, "Yeah, John and I have disagreed at times, as is commonplace at senior government levels, but he's always served his country faithfully. Conservatives especially have a responsibility to reject baseless attacks upon him." Conservatives especially? not entirely sure what that means. But why? Why? And this really is the $64 question. Why will these fuckers not sit down, put their hands in the air, take the oath, and tell the truth to the nation that the nation desperately needs to hear? Why do we have to wait and buy a book by John Bolton instead of John Bolton doing his patriotic duty and telling America what's going on? Because everything's capitalism, isn't it? There's no money to be made off of testifying before Congress. I mean, they might give you your mileage, but that's nothing compared to the multi-million dollar advance you can get from a publishing house. Fuck patriotism. Speaking of books, there's another one out now. It's called Sinking in the Swamp. By Lachlan Markey and Asawin Subasang. And it's, once again, about the madness and chaos and insanity of this disordered White House. And it goes all the way back to the heady days of 2017 when Rents Priebus of Wisconsin was chief of staff. And all the way back in those heady days of 2017, according to this book, they would be trying to brief Mango Mussolini on one issue or another. And somewhere along the way, somebody did the really stupid thing of reminding him that Rents Priebus was from Wisconsin and that the state critter of Wisconsin is the Badger. Also the mascot of the University of Wisconsin, Bucky Badger. And the unofficial chant, fuck 'em Bucky. And in a passage in Sinking in the Swamp, Markey and Subasang relate, quote, after Trump was reminded that the short-legged omnivore was practically synonymous with the Badger State, which kind of means it is, he'd make a point of bringing it up seemingly at random occasions to his beleaguered chief of staff. Are they mean to people? Trump asked at least twice of Priebus in the opening months of his presidency. Are they mean to people or are they friendly creatures? Rents, do you have any pictures of badgers you could show me? Can you explain to me how it is that badgers work? I mean, do badgers... This is the President of the United States. Do badgers have personality, or are they boring animals? I mean, what kind of damage could a badger do to a person with its flashy, sharp claws? And then he'd just sit there and stare at Rents Priebus as he tried to come up with something that would placate his mentally not there president. The authors write, an obviously enthralled president would stare at Priebus as the aide struggled for sufficiently placating answers, all the while trying to gently veer the conversation back to whether we were going to do a troop surge in Afghanistan or strip millions of Americans of health care coverage. Badgers, I wonder about them. I think I'm being badgered. Meanwhile, Bill Barr to prosecution is having a not great time of it lately. He threw a bit of a tantrum today because he's been getting calls to resign over the way he's interfering in the prosecution and sentencing of Roger Stone. And he said he was doing the right thing by urging the court to give old Raj a more lenient sentence.
I'm not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody, whether it's Congress, a newspaper editorial board, or the president. I'm going to do what I think is right. And, you know, I cannot do my job here at the DOJ with a constant background commentary that undercuts me. Do you go forward with what you think is the right decision, or do you pull back because of the tweet? And that just sort of illustrates how disruptive these tweets can be. Oh, my. Bill Barr doesn't like the way his boss tweets. Ooh, could that be a new nickname for him? Boss Tweet?
Remember Boss Tweed, Tammany Hall, Boss Tweet? All this was reported by Catherine Falders. F-A-U-L-D-E-R-S, if you want to look her up on Twitter. And, of course, yesterday he came all unglued over the Roger, Nitwit Nero did, all unglued over the Roger Stone sentencing. Jesus. You see things like this and you understand why maybe they put him in the car at about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
General, here is President Trump.
9 years recommended by four people that perhaps they were Mueller people. I don't know who they were, prosecutors. And they, I don't know what happened. They all hit the road pretty quickly. Look, you had somebody just recently, you saw what happened. He got 2 months. He got sentenced to 2 months for leaking classified information at the highest level.
Who's that?
They treated Roger Stone very badly. They treated everybody very badly.
Who was that?
And if you look at the Mueller investigation, it was a scam because it was illegally set up. It was set up based on false documentation and false documents. You look at what happened, how many people were hurt. Their lives were destroyed, and nothing happened with all the people that did it and launched a scam. Where's Comey? Why? Where is Comey? What's happening to McCabe? What's happening to Lisa and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page? What's happening with them? It was a whole setup. It was a disgrace for our country, and everyone knows it, too. Everyone, including NBC, which gives a lot of fake news. The fact is that Roger Stone was treated horribly, and
no mention of the horrible, horrible things that Roger Stone did. Roger Stone was treated horribly. And it's just a ramble. He's barely even taking a breath. I mean, he's not even snorting. They must have had the dosage tight yesterday.
There were many other people. Their lives were destroyed. And it turns out, you look at the Pfizer warrants and what just happened with Pfizer, where they found out it was fixed, that it was a dirty, rotten deal. So when you look at that and you see what happened to Roger Stone, but think of it, a man leaks classified information, highly classified. They give him 2 months. Roger Stone, for doing, nobody even knows what he did. In fact, they said he intimidated somebody. That person said he had no idea he was going to jail for that. That person didn't want to press charges. They put him in for 9 years. It's a disgrace. And frankly, they ought to apologize to a lot of the people whose lives they've ruined. All right, next question. Next question, please. Go ahead. Yeah, please, Steve. Wait. What?
Are you considering a pardon?
I don't want to say that yet, but I tell you what, people were hurt viciously and badly by these corrupt people. And I want to thank, if you look at what happened, I want to thank the Justice Department for seeing this horrible thing. And I didn't speak to him, by the way, just so you understand. They saw the horribleness of a 9-year sentence for doing nothing. You have murderers and drug addicts. They don't get 9 years. 9 years for doing something that nobody even can define what he did. Somebody said he put out a tweet. And the tweet, you based it on that. We have killers, we have murderers all over the place. Nothing happens. And then they put a man in jail and destroy his life, his family, his wife, his children.
For trying to, you know, for lying to the Congress, which is, you know, a fucking crime. What's it? But you know, bear in mind, this sick felonious freak doesn't think there should be a law against lying to Congress.
Years in jail, it's a disgrace. In the meantime, Comey walks around making book deals. The people that launched the scam investigation, and what they did is a disgrace. And hopefully it'll be treated fairly. Everything else will be treated fairly.
And so the question becomes, what of someone like Robert Mueller? Rock-ribbed Republican Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller, man of integrity. Where the hell is he? What are we to say of someone who not only won't stand up for others, but won't even stand up for himself? Not just him. Like I said, Bolton. John Kelly. Jim Mattis. That old war horse. Him with his beloved core honor. Where is he? You know what? If your neighbor's house is on fire and you see it and you say, well, you know, they're entitled to my silence. What kind of patriotism is that?
Well, they only get upset when their house burns down, too.
Right. And so, Agnes wandered back here. You'll be getting the Hi Agnes emails any minute now.
Hi, everybody. Love you.
Stephen New York says, their patriotic duty to them is making as much money as possible. Well, precisely. And wouldn't it be nice if someone would explain to them that they don't put, and I don't know how you get to be 70 years old without figuring this out somewhere along the way, that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses.
Well, they do know that.
As to Bill Barr to prosecution, and his claim that Trump's tweets make it impossible for him to do his job, Flavio, you're in Wisconsin. What can you tell us about the Badger? No, I'm sorry. But Flavio says, if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you in New York City. Well, precisely. That's a nice term. Randy in PA says, I prefer the term Trump chumps. Well, and it was years ago now that our buddy Reverbo coined the term well chumped. And they are. They're well chumped and they stay chumped. Me mentioning Chelsea Manning sitting in jail for refusing to answer a subpoena, said, Bob, I hate to play identity politics, but there's one group of people who have similar qualities about them, those that can skirt the law, and one person who doesn't share those qualities. I know what Chelsea Manning shared was questionable at best, but just saying, we know equality under the law is bullshit, IOKIYAR, and white male privilege and all. And it's hard to mount a counter-argument to something like that. It truly is. So we've gotten to the end of the first hour of the program this far into the filibobster. It is Thursday, and that means we've got the Green News Report on deck. And so if you would like to take part in the conversation, you're welcome to, with the caveat that white wingers, maggots, you know, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, booger eaters, maggots, trumpansies, Republicans are not welcome. You can get in on the conversation. The stress line is paired, at least for the time being. The stress line is paired with the gizmo box, and so that means that you can use that 844-THE-HORN, 844-843-4676. Or you can use Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. And you're welcome to jump in that way if you would like as well. We've got
Thanks to Joan. Thank you very kindly to Joan. We've only got $75 to go in fundraising to finish the evening. It would be wonderful if we could do that, say, maybe before Frontier knocks me all the way off the air. That last one was hard to come back from. They didn't want to connect. God, Frontier's just so star-spangled awesome. Gotta love them. Anyway, let's see what Brad and Desi have for us today.
It's Thursday, February 13, 2020.
I have come away with one inescapable conclusion, and that is that we have got to change.
Oil giant BP announces major shift to cut its emissions. Sea level rise is accelerating on the U.S. East Coast. Get used to record-breaking heat because it's here to stay. Plus,
even though President Trump sometimes dismisses climate change, this group of House Republicans says their policies can pass this year and get the presidential signature the Democrats' Green New Deal can't.
House Republicans unveil their version of climate legislation.
Really?
Yes, really.
All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
As to whether it is human-induced climate change, my mind is open. What is the evidence that you are relying on?
I'm not relying on evidence, Hamish. I am saying.
Well, that explains a little bit about Australia. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, BP says they've come around. They care about climate change. Republicans in Congress are going to pass climate legislation. Color me dubious today?
Yes, I think you're on the right track, but, you know, we'll get to that in a moment. First, another study confirms that sea level rise is accelerating in the United States, particularly along the East Coast. Out of 32 tide gauge stations along the entire U.S. coastline, from Maine to Alaska, 80% of those gauges showed a clear acceleration, with water levels rising faster in 2019 than in 2018. The researchers warn that that faster rate means the worst scenarios for coastal inundation and flooding are becoming more likely. Those worst-case scenarios projected by NOAA are as much as 8 feet of sea level rise by 2100.
8 feet?
Yes. A different study warns that record-shattering heat waves and annual temperature records are here to stay. The researchers project that nearly every year in the coming decade will likely rank in the top 10 hottest years ever recorded. That would knock out the last 10 years, which are currently the hottest 10 years on record. In Washington, House Republicans on Wednesday unveiled a new package of bills aimed at addressing climate change. It's an attempt to shift the party's message now that voters are demanding climate action. The legislation does not include cutting emissions or reducing dependence on fossil fuels or really anything that might offend the fossil fuel industry.
Then how can they call that climate change legislation?
It's climate denial light. It invests in research to capture carbon emissions and plant trees.
I see.
The Republicans' bill is in sharp contrast to the Trump administration's proposed 2021 budget, which, if he is reelected, increases logging on the public's lands, eliminates the Energy Department's Advanced Clean Energy Research Division, and slashes the Environmental Protection Agency's budget by a third.
So let me get this straight. The Republicans' plan for fighting climate change is to plant trees. The president's plan for the next year is to cut them down.
Yes.
This is working out very well.
Senate Democrats also proposed legislation. Theirs includes putting the nation on a path to net zero emissions by no later than 2050 and requiring plastics manufacturers to be financially responsible for the plastic waste they create.
Oh, so it's a grown-up plan.
Yes.
But of course, that won't be signed.
The Trump administration has now begun controlled blasting in parts of Arizona's Organ Pipe Cactus National Monument, home to rare and endangered species and sacred Native American burial sites. That's in order to construct Trump's border wall with Mexico. Finally, big news from BP. British Petroleum's new CEO announced on Wednesday that the company is shifting gears to reduce its contribution to global warming. BP will eliminate or offset all greenhouse gas emissions from its operations and cut the carbon intensity of its products in half by 2050. Here's BP's new CEO, Bernard Looney, and yes, that is his real name.
We have got to change. and change profoundly. We have to because the world is changing fast, and so are society's expectations of us. But it is more than having to change. We want to change. We want to change because it's the right thing for the world, and it's a tremendous business opportunity for BP.
So that's for real? The CEO of BP is saying we need to offset all emissions?
Yes, it reflects the growing pressures on big companies now to show that they're acting to address climate change.
And do you buy it? Are they really acting to address climate change, or are they just showing that they're trying to act to address climate change?
It's light on details, but environmental groups are cautiously optimistic.
And what's his name again?
Bernard Looney.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
That's all, folks.
Lovely. Just lovely. You know, I'm not the only little ray of fucking sunshine out there. Brad and Desi do a pretty fine job of it, too, from time to time. Man, when even the CEO of BP says we got to do something different, and here we go, doing nothing. Yeah, right. You may have noticed we were having some fun with Frontier again during the Green News Report. Back and gone and back and gone. I apologize. I wish there was something I could do about it. But, well, just remember, 100 yards down the road, there is fiber, gigabit fiber, running right past me. But they will not, they'll not put in the little gizmo that would bring it the 150 yards to here, the mansion. Because, of course, they won't. Right. So I guess now we're going to talk about the Nevada caucus and the South Carolina primary until those things are done with. And this isn't helpful. There is a group out there called I want to get them right because, well, there's a Democrats for Life of America, a Judean People's Front, People's Front of Judea, splitters. Democrats for Life of America, and these are supposedly pro-life Democrats. And Amy Klobuchar has decided she wants to go for a walla with them. Yeah, I've been kind of not impressed for a while. If she's the nominee, I will joyfully, again, the caveat, joyfully vote for her. But when you want to go over and wallow around with people who want to use the power, the monstrous power of the federal government to control women's innards, you kind of lose me. The following from from The Hill. Democratic presidential hopeful Senator Amy Klobuchar, D-Min, on Tuesday said that the Democratic Party should be a big tent for people of different beliefs, including those who oppose abortion rights. Man, that's some icky language. Including those who would tell women what they can do with their bodies. That's a little bit better. Klobuchar, who is running as a centrist candidate, That means what in 2020, what centrist means is not everybody can go to the doctor when they're sick. And alternative to Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren said while she is pro-choice, she doesn't think the party should shut out Democrats who disagree.
There are pro-life Democrats, and they are part of our party, and I think we need to build a big tent. I think we need to bring people in instead of shutting them out. Oh, my aching back.
So you want to let someone into your big tent who wants to come into the big tent and start screaming at people who are already in the tent. Hint, this is not a good way to make sure that the tent keeps standing. I mean, I guess, Phil, look, I mean, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you be a Democrat and at the same time say, I want to control the reproductive organs of every child, woman of childbearing age in America, because I'm a Democrat. Democrats for America for life, or Democrats for life for America, splitters, I suspect they're not really Democrats. I suspect it's another rat fuck. Because we know these things exist. Kind of like down in Alabama when Roy Tola Moore was running and they created that bullshit group called Dry Alabama. Republicans who want to take Demon Rum out of Alabama and have prohibition. It was a bullshit group. It wasn't real. And it succeeded beyond its wildest expectations because it got the Republicans brawling amongst themselves. Yeah, Republican. Gosh, I hate it when Republicans brawl with each other. It just costs me a lot in popcorn is what it does. But, yeah, Amy Klobuchar is going to. She's going to get in there, and because see, we can look. I guess there's a discussion to be had, but I don't know why anybody wants to have it about the relative merits of women being able to control their reproductive organs. I can't imagine being so full of oneself that one feels like one has the right to speak to half of the species in this country and say, everybody's going to have a right to have something that'll take away life, you know, a gun, but women, y'all women folk, you're just a little too delicate and too hysterical to make those decisions for yourself. So why don't you let the men folk make the egomaniacal. Yeah, we're gone again. And since I'm not actually facing the computer that has the streaming interface on it, I don't necessarily see it the instant it happens. So I want to particularly thank Dave and Brother Deacon Asa for being right on top of it every time it goes down. And that's impressive, especially considering the latency of the internet. But no, who told Amy Klobuchar that was a good idea? I mean, that's kind of like back when Phil Bredesen, wasn't it, running for Senate against Marsha Gedneth Blackburn? All he had to do was say, listen, I'm not in the Senate yet, so I don't have a vote on that Brett Kavanaugh guy. But instead, he had some momentum, and he just couldn't stop himself from jumping out there and declaring that he would vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh. And next thing you know, Marsha Gedneth Blackburn is the junior senator from Tennessee. And as of January, she'll be the holy shit senior senator from Tennessee. Well, that's a good question. How do we, Brother Deacon Asa asks, how exactly do we know Amy Klobuchar, Amy Kombucha, is not a rat fuck herself? You think that pig fuckers would want to back up to their girl Tulsi? Well, remember when Hillary Clinton said that there was someone that was being groomed by the Republicans inside the Democratic field, she didn't mention Tulsi's name. Tulsi did that for her. She didn't give any woman's name. Who knows who she was talking about? Oh, Jesus. So I guess now we're going to have to hear about the precious tender fifis of the goddamn Democrats for America for Life. Ugh, both of them. But it ain't going to be pleasant. And it won't be good for the campaign. By the campaign, I mean the campaign to remove Donald Trump from office. Now, according to Agence France-Presse, there was a bit of meaningful action in the Senate today. The Senate did something. Woo! By a vote by a majority of 55, all the Democrats and I think 8 Republicans, all the Democrats, a couple of independents, and 8 Republicans joined together to pass a resolution that would bar the United States from taking any military action against Iran without first getting explicit permission from Congress. Last month, the House passed something similar. This bill will now go over to the House for their approval. It will pass. But 55 in the Senate is not 67. So that means that the president, or the person impersonating a president, will veto it because he thinks he's got an Article 2 where he can do anything he wants. And thanks to people like Lisa Murkowski and noted Republican moderate Susan Collins of Maine, he can. His power is unchecked. There are no checks. We're in day 9 of our constitutional crisis. Day 9. Day 9 of a president of the United States who simply cannot be constrained, will not be constrained. The closest thing to constraint was that vague little threat from William Barr, Bill Barr to prosecution, saying that him tweeting about Roger Stone makes it impossible for him to do his job. Because that was a threat. That's, listen, bub, this can all go away. I'm covering your ass, but you got to give in return. Will it work? I don't know. Where'd he go at 3 o'clock? We don't know that either. Uh,
That's an interesting concept. Hail Mary in the chat room says, President wannabe Amy should defend abortion as self-defense to those gun-loving fetus idolaters. Gun-loving fetus idolaters. Yeah, fetus fetishists. But you got to give credit where credit's due. At least, the Senate did something today. Well, that's a good question. Jeff on the left says, Bob, I will gladly vote for whoever the nominee is, but do any of these Democrats actually want to win the damn general election? And that's a fine, fine question. I mean, I think Bernie does. I think Elizabeth Warren does. I don't know about Mike Bloomberg. And I think it's undeniable that Pete Buttigieg absolutely yearns to be president. I don't know quite what for, but I think he does. Yeah. And I mentioned the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh a little bit ago. You know, the guy who loves beer and mysteriously gets his house paid for and $500,000 in credit card debt wiped out mysteriously. I don't know who did that, but I sure do appreciate it. Well, there's a nationwide panel of federal judges, and it's called the Judicial Conference Codes of Conduct Committee. That committee actually puts together policy for federal courts. And this one just about knocked me out of my chair when I saw it a couple of weeks ago, actually. They have issued a draft advisory opinion. And in that draft advisory opinion, they warn federal judges, Article 3 judges, against having anything to do with the Federalist Society. They also said that judges should stay away from the American Constitution Society, too, which is the left-ish counterpart to the Federalist Society. The committee advises that formal affiliation with the ACS or the Federalist Society, whether as a member or in a leadership role, is inconsistent with Canons 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Code of Judicial Conduct. Official affiliation with either organization could convey to a reasonable person that the affiliated judge endorses the views and particular ideological perspectives advocated by the organization, call into question the affiliated judge's impartiality on subjects as to which the organization has taken a position, and generally frustrate the public's trust in the integrity and independence of the judiciary. Nice job closing the barn door after the damn thing's burnt down, fellas and ladies. Now, I don't know how they're going to make that stick, because Jesus, God Almighty, how many members of the federal judiciary are members of the fucking Federalist Society to begin with? But it's a start. Just last year, 23 judges
Every last one of them a Republican appointee. 23 judges spoke at the Federalist Society's annual Clavern meeting. And even though they claim not to do it, of course, they're up to their eyeballs in unethical and improper political activism. Wait a minute, I gotta, hold on. That cowbell is for Elbert in Rhode Island. As to Trump's whereabouts this afternoon, maybe they gave Trump a high colonic enema, and then he disappeared. Yeah, that's good. Oh, I found this little snippet to be rather interesting. It looks like they're even cluing in over there at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda a little bit. You know, Nitwit Nero's favorite morning show. Steve Ducey and the requisite attack blonde and Brian Kilmeade. Well, the senior judicial analyst for Fox News TV Radio Rwanda is Andrew Napolitano. And they brought him to talk about poor, put upon Roger Stone. And Napolitano said that Stone should get a new trial because a juror was found to have posted something not sufficiently filled with praise for Donald Trump on social media. Yesterday, Judge Amy Berman Jackson said, nah, we're not having a new trial. But what's surprising out of all of this is the conclusion that Napolitano and the weirdos came to, namely, that there's going to be another impeachment.
Somebody's going to be in the room. They're going to leak that. Next thing you know, they're going to be another impeachment.
The Democrats will impeach him for anything they can.
They're going to try
on
this.
I had a view that was against the grain on the impeachment, which is now history. There is no basis for interference here. There's no basis for an investigation. The president is the chief federal law enforcement officer of the land. He's entitled to express an opinion to the DOJ.
You're very clear.
He could pardon him.
That would end this mess. The judge has a mess in her hands now.
I'm sure the Democrats would turn the page if he pardoned him.
I doubt it.
Time out. Go ahead. Pardon Roger Stone. All kinds of interesting things happen then. Because with a pardon, he becomes immune to prosecution. And with immunity comes an obligation to testify. That, by the way, is how Chelsea Manning wound up behind bars. The U.S. attorney gave her immunity from prosecution, and then she showed up in front of the court and said, I'm still not going to testify. I don't like grand juries. I don't like secrecy. I don't understand anything, but I'm going to go to jail for what I don't understand. Of my own choosing. Something similar could happen to Roger Stone if Nitwit Nero pardons him. He could have his happy ass hauled in front of the grand jury in the Southern District of New York, or the Eastern District of Virginia, or the Northern District of Virginia, or D.C. itself, and have no way to not testify. And bye, Raj. And then I guess you'd have to pardon him again, wouldn't you, Nitwit Nero? Jesus. Okay, we're halfway through the program. Let's run over and check in on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Whoop, wrong button.
Thursday to you.
Hey, Reggie.
Hey, Bob. Happy Thursday to you.
Well, and to you as well.
Well, how do you feel about what Nancy Pelosi did last week and people giving her shit about it, ripping up those lies?
Well, I mean, we discussed it.
We told him why he did it.
We discussed it at length during the programs last week. So, I mean, I think that topic's been pretty well worn out.
Right. Well, yeah.
I mean,
I wish people would leave her alone.
Well, no. Look, she's a grown up. She knows, as the old saying goes, that politics ain't beanbag.
Yeah. But, you know, they keep attacking them regardless. And
and they're going to do that. They're going to do that. That's part of the process. It's part of how the game works out.
And speaking of politicians, Joe Biden was on The View with Nutmeg and the gang.
Oh, I missed that.
Talking about. Well, it's on the YouTube. It's on YouTube in clip and in full view. They were talking about, they had him and his wife on there, talking about, obvious, but they talked about a resurfaced video by Michael Bloomberg, and then, of course, Joey brought up his son. I mean, why doesn't he go after Trump kids, because Trump keeps coming after him, wanted to pick on Hunter Biden, and you know what he said? He just loved to be back in high school and having a room for 5 minutes, him and Donald Trump, but he's a man. He's a too grown ass man. And he's not going to do that. And so, well, going after his kids won't do anything. Hello? I'll go ahead, Bob.
No, that's okay.
I was saying that he won't go after his kids the way they come after his.
He'd have a commitment. And frankly, that's what desperately needs to happen. But we got to get him out of office first. There's a list.
That's what Joe Biden said. And Joe said he wasn't mad enough. Joe Biden wasn't.
Well, he can't get all mad because there's a double standard. Nitwit Nero can sit there and rage in his ignorance, and that's okay because he's Nitwit Nero. Joe Biden can't do that.
What? Right.
It's the corollary to why Barack Obama couldn't lose his shit on people, because then he'd be an angry black man.
Yeah, but you know, there's no reason for bullying. You know, letting bullying get away with it isn't the answer.
Yeah, but Reggie, you got to understand, the maggots like it. They love it. They respect him for it. They worship him for it. It gets them off.
That's because they're stupid. I think it gets them off.
Because they're don't just gloss over it. You have to understand that they are as mean and vicious and vindictive and hateful and ignorant as he is.
And stupid.
Well, yeah.
As he is, right? And stupid. But they voted for him. Because all the words you mentioned,
yeah,
they want to make America great again, right?
Whatever passes for great to them,
right? And as Joe Biden said, we got to get rid of this guy. And him and his wife said that too, because she was on the show with him, and he wishes that they would stop. Well, not them, but he wishes that the mainstream media would stop bringing up his son, Hunter Biden, because he's not going to do any good. And I'm sure he's tired of defending his son. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm sure he is. Because he's done enough of that on the campaign trail. But they just keep bringing it up because I don't know if they're listening to the right or to the talk radio. Like, they're the puppets, and those things are the puppeteers. Well,
hey, listen. Reggie, not crazy at all.
Right. Yeah. But thank you, bro. But thanks for saying that, Bob, because I really appreciate it. But I wish the media would focus on the Gordon Ramsay thing instead of personal bullshit like his family and whatnot. I'm talking about Joe Biden now.
Oh, I know.
Focus on what he's saying instead of, you know what
well,
I'm saying?
Well, I don't know if there's... I think historically, he in all of his presidential campaigning, I don't think Joe's ever finished better than fourth in any primary.
Why do you say that, Bob? Exactly.
Well, I don't think he's that's the best he's ever done. And so maybe he wins South Carolina. I don't know. But I just don't see this this wagon with the wheels coming off. Campaign of his going much further. Hey Reggie, I've lost you on the Bluetooth, buddy. We will talk again soon, okay? You take care now. Bye. I don't get a sense that in this community there's a whole bunch of people with Biden enthusiasm. But, damn. And as bad as his campaign has been thus far, I think we're seeing proof of why he must not be the nominee. All that business about he's the only one who can take on Trump, I think that turned out to be marketing and a combination of marketing and wishful thinking. And, of course, Frontier buffered up on us again. And God, it's infuriating. A little piece of news from earlier today. At an Iraqi military base where some of our occupying forces are still stationed, Kirkuk province. It was the recipient of a rocket attack today, and it was a Katyusha rocket, and it landed in an open area of the K-1 base about 8:45 p.m. Local time. I guess it would be last night for them now. They're reporting, it's being reported that there were no casualties. Of course, the problem with that is they reported minimal casualties out of the rocket attack that was occasioned by the stupid assassination of Qasem Soleimani. And now we find that, there are more than 100 military personnel who were stationed over there who have suffered head injuries, severe ones. It's disgusting. And the number has kept going up. Jesus. But when they asked Nitwit Nero about it, these injuries that were caused by his own stupidity, when they asked Nitwit Nero about it, he said, those injuries aren't very serious. I heard they had headaches after the rocket attack. Yeah. He had previously declared, all is well. And then while he was at Davos, a reporter asked him, initially you said repeatedly to Americans after Iran retaliated for the Soleimani strike, no Americans were injured. We now know that at least 11 U.S. servicemen were airlifted from Iraq. Can you explain the discrepancy? Of course he can't. No, I heard that they had headaches and a couple other things, but I'd say, and I can report, it's not very serious. You don't think that a potential traumatic brain injury is very serious? They told me about it numerous days later. You'd have to ask the Department of Defense. No, I don't consider them very serious injuries relative to other injuries that I've seen. Like when I don't get the second scoop of ice cream. And that's when it was 11. Now it's over 100. And interestingly, it turns out, a couple or 3 days ago, a report came out. Iraqis, who would be in a position to know, the original rocket attack that killed one of our mercenaries that led to the assassination of Soleimani, the Iraqis now say in an interview with the New York Times that ISIS, not anyone linked to Iran, but ISIS, launched the rocket attack on December 27th that led to Nitwit Nero assassinating Qasem Soleimani. Stupid fuck. That led to 100 traumatic brain injuries among our military personnel. As Code Pink put it, the U.S. almost started World War III based on questionable evidence. Which is, and what's particularly interesting is that the person who dropped the dime, Brigadier General Ahmed Adnan, is the Iraqi Chief of Intelligence for the Federal Police. Where? At the same K-1 air base that got rocket attacked today. Meanwhile, the Nitwit Nero's gang of ne'er-do-wells, dead-enders, and lost causes haven't provided a single piece of evidence that a pro-Iranian militia perpetrated the attack on December 27th. How about that? Interesting, though, that it's that information comes from a guy at the K-1 base, and then the next thing you know, rockets are landing there. The security forces claim to have found the launch pad for it and said there were 11 more ready to go. Isn't that curious? Curiouser and curiouser, said Alice. As to Michael Bloomberg, Stephen New York says, I think he's just taking pleasure at trolling Trump. When you literally have money to burn, you can do that. Yeah, he's not going to live that long, but, you know, he's got $55 billion. He's going to spend $1 billion on this race. He's going to spend 1/55th of his fortune. And the rest of his fortune continues to grow. He'll make that back by next year. And have you noticed that, Tom Steyer, transformed his need to impeach campaign into a presidential campaign? Well, we impeached, and now we've got a constitutional crisis. So the need to impeach campaign becomes a Steyer for president campaign. Ain't I just cynical? Yeah. Hey, there's Steve from New York. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on?
Just another happy day in paradise.
Yeah, I'm just leaving work, and I have about 10 minutes to walk to the train. I want to The whole pardon thing with Roger Stone has really been on my mind. And I'm trying to tell you something. I don't think Stone will accept the pardon.
Really?
Because, as you know, if you accept a pardon, that's your admission of guilt.
Yeah, true.
And I think he so thinks he didn't do anything that he wouldn't accept it for that reason. And also, I wonder if Trump found that out, because he clearly doesn't know, would Trump even offer it? Because the argument would be, wait a second, you said he was treated unfairly, he didn't do it, didn't do anything wrong. Well, he has to admit that he did.
Well, but there's a wrinkle, isn't there, Steve? Because I've read that one of the thought models, if we can dare refer to it as such, that they're operating on, is that there will not be a pardon, there will be a commutation.
A commutation, right.
And that would not require an admission of guilt.
But all that means is the sentence is vacated. The guilty verdict still stands. So either way, he's guilty.
But
Libby is still guilty.
Yeah. That would be Mr. Scooter, according to James Carville.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you saw I'm sorry, I interrupted. What were you going to say?
Well, no, the only other thing I was going to point out was what I was talking about a minute ago, and that is that a pardon and possibly even a commutation puts Trump in a worse position than letting him rot.
Yeah.
Because who knows, maybe he'll hang himself in jail like Jeffrey Epstein did.
With both hands tied behind his back. No.
Yeah, you're right.
He
stabbed himself 30. He fell on his knife 37 times. Right.
Right. I don't know. I don't think it's as simple as people might want to think it is. Given, and the other hand is it important to Stone that he admits guilt?
I think it's important to Stone that he not spend the rest of his life in prison.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
you see the weird wrinkle that I'm thinking of here.
Yeah, I do.
And then the other.
Are you there, Steve?
Hello?
Yeah, you disappeared for a minute. You're back. You said, and then.
Is there such a thing in criminal law as res judicata or something like that?
Well, I mean, it's a general legal principle, isn't it? It's not solely applicable to, I mean, you can have res judicata as to an issue. I mean, if it's already been litigated to completion, the simple matters of judicial economy are not going to relitigate it.
Okay. I didn't know if there was since I know very little about criminal law, I didn't know if there was some sort of special concept given the difference.
You couldn't find Trump guilty on a principle of res judicata, say, as to the illegal campaign contributions for the porn star payoffs. You couldn't say he is guilty because it's already been litigated with regard to Michael Cohen. But you could certainly say that the issue was litigated to conclusion, and the court can take judicial notice of anything it wants to take judicial notice of, and a court can always take judicial notice of its own orders.
Okay.
And so the findings relative to what went on, that those payments were made, whatever was adjudicated before in the Cohen case, I would think there would be an argument that there's no need to relitigate that, and then you simply have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that individual one is Donald Trump.
and the requisite other elements of the crime.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got right. You've still got to prove all the elements of the crime beyond a reasonable doubt. But but the existence of the crime, I don't think is, you know, there's the difference between it happened, but it didn't happen criminally, or versus it just didn't happen. They could not come in and say it just didn't happen. It's kind of like the criminal trial of Harvey Weinstein right now. The closing, okay. He hired a really nasty, and you do, you know, this was done for a reason. He hired a really nasty, hateful female lawyer to defend him. To put in the mind of the jury that, well, you know, she's sitting next to him. He's not groping her. And she made, I think, her closing arguments today and said it was the women's fault he did what he did. Which is to me is kind of an example of the difference between it didn't happen and it happened, but.
Look what they were wearing.
How was she dressed? She really actually wanted it. No means yes. And she said, you know, these girls have to know what kind of business they're in. They know what's going on. They know this happens. She made that argument to a jury.
And where was the jury? Was it in Manhattan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
It's disgusting. Yeah, it is.
That should be grounds for disbarment. I mean, you know. Well, listen, I wanted to ask you about one other thing. Sure. I've been thinking a lot about the election and if Bernie is the nominee, and I've been thinking about what his strategy should be. And tell me what you think about this. And I've been thinking about the infamous picture in his underwear. I got half a mind to think that he should get out in front of this and he should he should buy billboards and somehow spin that.
Well, I mean, it's almost always a good idea. And for this one, I go back to when we were having the discussion about the Bruga hissy fit inducing, business about Hillary Clinton's speeches to the Wall Street banks. And my argument at the time, I think it's sound, is when something like that is out there, it's always best to get out in front of it and own the narrative yourself, as opposed to letting somebody else own the narrative and use it against you. So if she had released the recordings and simply said, yeah, I did it. They asked me to come speak. They paid me. The check cleared. And I went there and I told them that all Wall Street investment bankers shit ice cream. Are you surprised? And that would have been the end of it.
And she would have gotten. And it's the same thing with the, you know, I think the Affordable Care rollout. Obama did such a bad job where you had, you know, Godzilla from Wasilla saying, you know, that's when the whole death panels thing came out.
Yeah.
And I knew when the narrative was written, but when the opponents wrote the narrative, you can't unwrite, you can't unhear something.
You can't unring a bell.
Yes. So I think Bernie should get out in front of it. And I think he should do some TV ads about, you know, democratic socialists and morph it into FDR.
Well, I think you could go about it that way, but my best guess, Steve, is, and they won't do it because they're proud of it. They're gonna scream Democrat. You know, the Republicans will scream socialist from the rooftops, and the Bernie people will scream it right back at them. Goddamn right, socialists. And it'll turn into a referendum on socialism instead of a referendum on whether the Constitution survives, which is good for the Trump, for the maggots, and awful for us. His ad should be full of pictures of FDR and talking about and talk about Social Security and talk about Medicare, talk about Medicaid, talk about SNAP, talk about the CHIP program. All of these things that matter desperately to American people who are just trying to get from one day to the next. And then, and then after you've established all that, then you can sort of double back and talk about that and use that that shrieking of socialism to your benefit and against them. I mean, it's kind of like something that she's the head of the flight attendants union, and really a dynamic speaker and a dynamic leader. And Sparky brought it up to me last night. She heard a clip or saw a speech or whatever by Mayor Pete, in which he declared, he referred to union workers as they. And what she said, anytime the word they is used with workers, it's a sign of union busters at work.
Yep.
And of course, you know, there's nothing about Mayor Pete that speaks to some sort of deep and abiding love for the labor movement.
Well, I think it's quite the contrary.
And when he he with the connivance of I think it's the Food Service Workers Union in Nevada.
Right.
Who said the Bernie wants to take away our health care and we had to fight real hard for that. Bullshit. And I don't understand why it is so unfathomably difficult, Steve, for us to explain that in a Medicare for all situation, nobody's going to lose health care. Everybody's going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that what these hard fought health benefits are is actually something. And this is what she pointed out. You have to do the things like striking and threatening to strike and fight and battle for every penny's worth of health insurance that you get, but not all unions have so-called Cadillac health care plans. And as we saw in the case of the GM strike, guess what? So what Sarah Nelson said of Buttigieg's Medicare for all who want it bullshit. He had said, there are 14 million union workers in America who fought hard for strong employer-provided health benefits. Medicare for all who want it protects their plans and union members' freedom to choose the coverage that's best for them. And she responded and said, this is offensive and dangerous. Stop perpetuating this gross myth. Not every union member has union health care plans that protect them. Those that do have it have to fight like hell to keep it. If you believe in labor, then you'd understand an injury to one is an injury to all.
Solidarity, man.
Yeah. I mean, why she did a good job with that there. But that's really good. But the whole point of it is to provide coverage for everybody. And not the shitty coverage. I'm telling tales out of school, but you know, your fellow member of the fraternity of Steve's, Steve from Georgia Stan, was in the hospital last week.
Yeah, no, he and I exchanged emails. He told me what was up. So
yeah. And so he was, I think, on the hook for $600 out of his pocket for every day he was in the hospital.
Oh.
And he's got insurance. And that's what all of these bullshit health plans on the so-called marketplace are like. I mean, they're not insurance at all. They got $10,000 deductibles. And even after you reach your deductibles, you're on the hook for $600 a day, depending on what you're purchasing for every day you're in the hospital. And that's not even, and that's just the hospital. That's not the labs. That's not the doctors. That's not the, no. And how do you survive that? And then out of that, Steve, comes a story out of Kansas where a man and woman were each, a couple, they had a sick child and she herself became sick. And he was working two jobs. And even with insurance, they wound up with these huge bills. And there's a debt collection lawyer who's a total scumbag out in Kansas.
I've never met one who isn't, by the way.
Well, so he works up this scam with the connivance of the judge. And they have debt report day. And all the people he's trying to collect against get summoned to court. And they have to go up and say that they're still too poor to pay the debt. And if you fuck up, and don't make the court date on the summons, they come and arrest you and put you in jail for your debt. And the State Bar of Kansas just goes, oh, well. And so, you know, they wound up in jail over medical debt, and it's not a one-off. I talked last week about the program in Mississippi where you work for McDonald's or whatever for free, and you are kept in prison the rest of the time, and you never get out because they take most of your pay to pay for your upkeep, and then a pittance of what you get goes to pay down the actual civil judgment, and never actually touches the principal because there's interest racking on it day in and day out. Now this is the kind of shit that makes people want revolution.
I was just going to say, and I was going to segue that into James Carville said that nobody wants a revolution. And I thought, wow, as the guy who sits in his 10,000 square foot house speaks, I don't know if you saw that. And Bernie actually fired back pretty hard at the guy.
Yeah.
Called him a partisan hack. Well, I tell you what, maybe Bernie really is getting under their skin, Bob, because the one thing that seems to be uniting our betters is someone's going to take a little bit more of their money.
Yeah, a tiny little bit more.
No, I know. Yeah, well, listen here, my good man. I'm hopping into the subway here in a sec. I just want to call in and say howdy, and I want to give a shout-out to Steve. He had a pretty rough week last week, and he tells me he's back home and on the mend, and I just want to wish him the best.
Yeah, he's on the yogurt and soup diet for a while.
Right, yeah, that's what he told me.
I mean, I know.
Listen, you take care and have a good night.
I know that pain. You too, uh-huh. Steve. I'm glad you called in, man. We don't get to talk like this as often as I'd like.
Yeah, me too. Take care of yourself, okay?
All right.
I'll talk to you soon.
You be good. Bye now.
I'll see you on the porch tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, Steve usually pops in for the porch, but we don't do the one-on-one stuff as often. Good points all the way around. The vile pettifogger defending Harvey Weinstein, by the way, is a woman by the name of Donna Rotunno. And in the closing arguments today, she said that Weinstein's victim and Weinstein had, quote, more of a relationship than she wants you to believe. And of the woman who alleged that Weinstein raped her in a Manhattan hotel room, she said,
Well, she can't keep anything straight under cross-examination. And then she outright said that one witness just, she did what a friend does. She lied. She said that about Rosie Perez, the actor. Oh, it was sleazy as hell. She said to the jury, historically, you're the last line of defense in this country from the overzealous media, from the overzealous prosecution. And she said that the prosecution was disingenuous. When the prosecutor said that the women who charged him were acting independently. In October 2017, the biggest story in the world was about Harvey Weinstein. They all knew that story. God. Ugh. Yeah. So, yeah, the stream crashed, and I got it back, but yeah, what a nightmare. Yeah, says Darlene, why would Stone admit guilt when he went to the trouble of having Nixon's mug tattooed on his back? He wants it all, to go free and not admit guilt. There's probably no thought model for that, but who knows with these Republicans. P.S., Harvey Weinstein should not be using a rollator when he is so bent over and crippled like he is. As a woman with a disability and who uses rollators, you catch my drift here? I think I do. I think so. I always look like those things could get away from you, too. As to pardon versus commutation, Lee in New York says, it'll be decided on what Trump considers a win. For Trump, it's probably enough to moan and groan about how unfair justice has been. If Roger Stone is willing to rot in jail for Trump, no action required. If Rush Limbaugh whispers that a pardon at 5:17 a.m. on Monday under a full moon, it'll happen at that time. By God, Lee, you're almost as cynical as I am. Thanks, Dave. Dave enjoyed Steve's call, of course, Frontier took that opportunity to go to pieces, and we're just blipping along. There was a blip at 7:08, and yes, Dave, sometimes you do beat Brother Deacon Asa. You're quicker on the draw sometimes. And Brother Deacon Asa reminds us, getting in front of the narrative worked pretty well for Obama in 2008. Yeah, I inhaled. That was the whole point of it. Albert says, Trump yelled about Hillary's speech, plus how she didn't release a transcript to the media. But Trump hasn't said one thing. If he dislikes Wall Street so much, why'd he choose Goldman Sachs executive board for a cabinet member? You know, well, because he's a monumental hypocrite. That's why. Billable Rick on the possibility of a Roger Stone pardon. As regards the position of Steve from New York that Roger Stone needs to accept a pardon from Trump in order for the pardon to be effective, he's correct. However, if Trump were to commute Stone's sentence to no prison time, he would be powerless to refuse such a commutation based on a 1927 Supreme Court ruling. This is an arcane but interesting issue. Well, I'll check that out. So, well, let's see here. I think, I could be wrong, but I think that Frontier's customer service people
knock off at like 8. I'm getting really sick of this, and I don't want this to go on all during Friday on the front porch. So if I get after them, hopefully right now, maybe they'll have somebody out here tomorrow that'll actually be able to deal with it. So under the circumstances, I'm going to take the next 45 minutes and probably sit on hold for 40 of them and hopefully get a human being for 5 minutes and sort out what the hell this problem is. As far as the dropouts are concerned, you can catch them on the podcast, I guess. But, you know, I apologize for these technical screw-ups. And I have a feeling it's something infrastructure-y. Because this isn't cable internet. This is supposedly, you know, direct, not shared. But it's really weird that we don't, for instance, when Dr. Bill went earlier this week, his program ran and it never buffered once. And that was in the middle of the afternoon. But long about the time people start coming home from work, then it gets shitty. So that's kind of like a clue. And that's what I'm going to work on. Yeah, exactly. Well, busted. Brother Deacon Asa says, Lib Talker intentionally drops out during live programming to boost podcast numbers. Oh, my aching back. Yeah. You got me dead to rights, Brother Deacon. Let's see. So I guessed right on the Rollators. Thank you. Thank you, Darlene. Darlene says, yes, exactly. That's my point with Rollators. They can get away from you. Technically, Weinstein should be using a much slower walker, or better yet, be in a wheelchair. With a Rollator, he should be flat on his face. In other words, he's got more strength and control than he's letting on. That's my drift. Yep. Of course, that's done to generate jury sympathy. Oh, he couldn't possibly have raped the living bee Jesus out of all those women. Look at the poor old fucker. Can't hardly even stand up and walk. Don't think that notion wasn't hatched in a law office and not a doctor's office. Yeah, I know. Flavio asking the question, why are we so sure there will even be an election? Trump may just say there's no need for an election. The people are behind him. It's unnecessary. Ah, and it's the Culinary Workers Union in Nevada. Okay, they're the ones. Well, what a pity that they allowed themselves to be rolled like they did. Oh, and, you know, because Flavio has told us about his history and his immigrant history and growing up in Brazil and the time of the generals and the rottening of civil society there, and now Jair Bolsonaro. My pink little ears perk up whenever I hear a Brazil story, especially when I'm out and about and like in the evening listening to BBC on West Virginia Public Radio. That's an unpaid product placement. And so imagine, the irony. There was a story last night about the guy that Bolsonaro installed to be the head of the foundation or commission or whatever that oversees issues of indigenous rights and racism. And he's a denier. In fact, you know, there's an industry for this crap, and it gets around the world quickly. He says the same sort of shit that you can find in right-wing circles here, because a fascist is a fascist. With all apologies to Gertrude Stein, a fascist is a fascist is a fascist is a fascist. And so what happened, this right-wing fascist asshole gets appointed to run the Commission on Racism, and his claim to fame is his having denied that racism exists. And among other things, he has said that slavery was good for Africans because it brought them civilization and Jeebus. So people who were outraged, I mean, it would be like, it would be like making Richard Spencer the head of the Anti-Defamation League. It's on the along those lines. So some outraged Brazilians sued and took it to Brazil's highest court. And Brazil's highest court ruled that they could not interfere in Jair Bolsonaro's appointments because, gosh darn it, they still like being alive a whole lot. No, they didn't say that. That was the quiet part that they didn't say out loud. But they said that they had no power as a judiciary to interfere in his appointments, even though he appointed a guy who thinks that racism isn't real to head the Commission on Racism. You can't make this shit up. You just freaking can't. So I'm gonna knock off for the evening and get busy trying to get Frontier on the line. Interestingly, and this is just further evidence of an uncheckable autocrat and dictator on the loose, you know that Nitwit Nero has been attacking Amy Berman Jackson, Judge Amy Berman Jackson, over the Stone case. Well, the chief judge of the U.S. District Court in D.C., is Judge Beryl Howell. And he did something that is rarely done. He spoke out about it. Among other things, Nitwit Nero attacked Judge Amy Berman Jackson and libeled her by claiming that she put Paul Manafort in solitary confinement. And this, of course, on top of all the outrage over Roger Stone getting what Roger Stone has deserved for so very goddamn long. And so Judge Howell, like I said, spoke up. He said, "The judges of this court base their sentencing decisions on careful consideration of the actual record in the case before them, the applicable sentencing guidelines and statutory factors, the submissions of the parties, the probation office and victims, and their own judgment and experience. Public criticism or pressure is not a factor." It doesn't sound like he was shrieking at the top of his lungs, but it's pretty unusual for the chief judge to speak out about a case in which that is not before that judge. But this is all part of the hollowing out of government. The hollowing out of the legislative branch has been accomplished. And the hollowing out of the judicial branch is well underway, especially given the number of unqualified freaks that he and the Federalist Society, in connivance with Moscow Mitch, have put on the bench. It goes back to the assaults on Judge Curiel for his heritage when Judge Curiel was presiding over the Trump University fraud suit, which, of course, Nitwit Nero lost. But the whole goal of all of this is to make our government, our republic, nothing but a hollow shell that can then be leveraged at will by whatever wannabe dictator comes along, him and after him. He really does have dreams of his filthy family running this country forever. And if we were a little bit better at civics, if we were a little bit better at being self-governing citizens, well, maybe we would be in the street. Oh, and a little leftover from prayer meeting Wednesday that I neglected to get to. Two fairly big stories coming out of out from behind the Zion curtain out in Utah. The one being the outing of the $100 billion slush fund maintained by the Mormon Church. Most of your average workaday Mormons had no idea it existed. It does. And it was brought to light by a disgruntled official of the church. And then it was verified. And just in case, you know, $100 billion is almost twice the worth of Michael Bloomberg. $100 billion is a tenth of $1 trillion. And $100 billion is somewhere around twice the size of Harvard's endowment. That's a lot of cash. I don't even know if the Roman Catholic Church is worth that money much, and they've had 1,600 years to pull it together. The other one, though, is more of a cultural thing. And this week, the Salt Lake Tribune reported that a group of legislators in the Utah state government are supporting a bill to decriminalize polygamy. You know, sister wives, brother husbands. No, that's that road only runs in one direction. A man can have a lot of wives, but a wife can't have a lot of husbands. And so they brought in somebody from Spanish Fork, Utah, Republican Senator Deidre Henderson. She claimed that the current Utah law that makes polygamy a felony is unenforceable if there aren't other crimes.
Remember, for instance, that Bishop Willard Romney's ancestors and a whole bunch of other Mormons split out of Utah when Utah, as a condition of statehood, agreed to criminalize polygamy. Does that mean if they decriminalize polygamy, Utah doesn't get to be a state anymore? Sadly, no. But the Romneys split for Mexico, and they stayed down there, and they prospered down there. And in fact, George Romney, Bishop Willard's father, ran for the presidency of the United States in 1968, even though he was born in Mexico, and his family were illegal immigrants who snuck back across the border. But daggummit, the polygamists, well, Senator Henderson said, the people that I've spoken with long to feel part of society. They're tired of being treated like second-class citizens. They feel like Utah has legalized prejudice against them. They want to be honest people, but feel like they have to lie or teach their children to lie about their families in order to stay safe. According to the Salt Lake Tribune, the only thing that would happen if you got busted for polygamy would be you'd have to pay a fine of up to $750 and do some community service. So chances are this thing will get out of committee. And for instance, Senator Dan Thatcher said, I'm not interested in hearing how bad polygamy is because that's not going to make me vote against this bill. Wow, that's an eye-opener. I'm so old I can remember that. I can remember when Rick Santorum said that marriage equality in same-sex marriages would lead to people marrying their dogs. And that's how he became known as Man on Dog Santorum. But no, it doesn't look like that. Is it, I worry about the potential for abuse. But it already happens in monogamous marriages, too. Oh, well, thank you, Arthur. Wait a minute. That's for Arthur. Stop border snuck shaming, Bob. I guess it's just kind of weird to us. But if they're gonna legalize polygamy, shouldn't they get around to saying that one woman can have several husbands too? I mean, that's equality. Oh wait, Joseph Smith wouldn't like that. Oh wait, Brigham Young. Ugh. But monogamy is not and has not, I don't think, it, historically been the dominant. Model. Line marriages. Clan, not with a K, marriages. Or as the old saying goes, I got two wives and it's mighty big of me. Will it lead to the destruction of civilization as we know it? Probably not. Are people gonna jump out there and become Mormons so that they can go have them a whole passel of sister wives? I doubt it. But at the same time, I wonder how many of the people who testified in behalf of this bill
I wonder how many of them shrieked about the death of the good, godly, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian family that would come about if guys could marry guys and women could marry women. If Utah legalizes polygamy, does that mean one guy can marry several guys? Or one woman can marry several women? Yeah. Oh, this should be interesting. Well, that's very interesting, Dave. That too is very interesting, Dave. Just got a note from Dave saying, stream's fine. Maybe threaten to sign off early more often. Then the goober fucking with your QoS will find something else to do. you never know. I've wondered if it could be external forces fucking with us, but knowing Frontier as well as I do, I tend to default to thinking that, nah, they're just really bad at this. And for instance, I can't switch over to, say, Chantel, because all of their shit is metered. And we'd be paying bandwidth overages in the gazillions of dollars every month. And if you want an unmetered connection, Jesus, it's like $600 a month or something stupid like that. All right, I've been putting it off because I hate being on tech support with Frontier. But I'm going to have to do it. We'll be back, and all of this is in hopes that tomorrow... Oh, wait, what? Okay, maybe not. But all this, the idea behind this is in hopes that we can get through Friday on the front porch tomorrow without constant... Without the stream constantly buffering up and shutting down. Wait a minute. James in Illinois says, subject line, marrying a dog. I would only marry a purebred dog. Yeah, no mutts for James. Lee in New York, religion being logical. Stop it, Bob. You want the people who believe in magic undergarments to treat marriage reasonably? Obligatory Star Trek reference. It all went wrong when Sarek married Amanda. Now any species can marry. See what happens? Yeah. Hey, Todd, what's up?
Hey, I really have a single question. I'm on regular Bluetooth. I'm still in this shitty-ass rental car, but whatever. That's not the problem.
It sounds better than it did last time.
Yeah, and I took your... Yeah, I had no... You know, that was just... You know how it is when you're in these different vehicles. There's a whole lot of crap you got to deal with. All right. So my question. Why does the for-profit media gloss over the fact... Now, you played this clip, the disgusting clip of our president. And I hate to say it like that, but that's our president. When he got to the point, all right, this is about new context. This is about Roger Stone. When he made the statement, and he said, and nobody can say what he did. Everything should have stopped.
Right.
That fucker, he threatened a judge, he lied to Congress. Has been engaging in shenanigans. I mean, you can't charge him for, like, previous stuff. But, I mean, it's so much. It's like, how could you even make that statement?
Well, it's funny. He's more than happy to have Michael Cohen in jail for lying to Congress. But, you know, there's lying to Congress, and then there's lying to Congress.
Where's the fourth pillar on this?
Well, that's what I meant, Todd, when I said that everything has been hollowed out.
I mean, isn't
how long have we been talking about? I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm a little bit pissed off.
Oh no, that's okay. I mean, I just. Isn't that what's happening?
Oh, what? Last time we talked, I think it was just a couple of days ago, you know, we're talking about the coup d'etat, and you know, they have the nerve to use that term when they have been honing it to like the steel of a Japanese sword. You know, this is, I mean, how long have we been talking about Bill Barr?
Well, since he got nominated.
I'm just trying to figure out at what point is this shit going to break, or is it? If it doesn't break, then we're already in a we've been in a constitutional crisis. But this shit, you can't let this asshole keep making these statements like this unchecked. Fuck him. I don't give a fuck if he is the president. He's mentally ill. He's a liar. He's out of control, and he's got his minions around him that are protecting him. Bill Barr needs to be impeached immediately. They need to fucking just lock him up, just like regular people. You know what they do? They lock you up first. Then they figure out, all right, well, you know, the officer said you did this and that. You know, blah, 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 blah. But meanwhile, you're locked up till you make bail and until you hire a good lawyer and get out. Am I missing something here?
No, you're not. You're right. You're right where you ought to be. But the corruption is sufficient to provide a layer of insulation.
I see this whole farce. Okay, when you know I'm going home this afternoon listening to public radio. And apparently, you know, Bill Barr has this little his pushback. I don't believe that. I think that's just a ploy. Bill Barr is not stupid. I think that's just a ploy to get people off his back. I think they're still working in concert, you know. But I don't, do people understand how much power the attorney general has? This attorney general was the head of the CIA at one point.
Was he? I mean, I know he was attorney general under Bush. I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. That was Pompeo.
Yeah.
That was Pompeo.
Right.
Pompeo. Well, but they're all in that small circle. They have a very small circle, right? And now he's getting back all these people who were with him from the jump, now that he thinks the dust is clear. And the Senate refuses to beef up security for our elections.
Yep.
I mean, what the hell is going on?
I come back to saying what I've been saying. This is what it looks like when your constitution and your country get hollowed out. This is what happens when it never happens in the play, but in Peter Pan, everybody has to clap to keep Tinkerbell from dying. This is what happens when the audience sits on their fucking hands and lets Tinkerbell die. All the magic goes with it. And in this case, the magic is the notion that we all kind of agreed that we were living in a government with a governmental structure that we generally approved of. That turns out to have been a big fucking lie. And there were clues along the way. Anybody who would make a multi-billion dollar business out of trying to take a constitutional right away from half the population, the anti-abortion industry,
right,
doesn't think much of government in general, unless it's the government that they want. So what happens next? okay, first you hollow out the government you have, and then mm-hmm. you insert what you want into it and say it's still the same government. That's the theocracy that they're yearning for. That's the and the theocrats will have their piece of the pie, and the oligarchs will have their piece of the pie, and as long as they can each keep each other happy, then they will go about the business of tearing this country to the ground. I mean, does that make any sense?
Yeah, but are these people really, all right, the people that we don't agree with, are they thinking long term? Are they, I mean, I know what they're getting what they want now, but I don't see a well developed end game from this.
Fascists aren't good at end game because fascists don't think it's going to end. And it's all pure power politics. I mean, look back, you know, history is what history is, and we have what we have in way of historical precedent to examine. I mentioned Ernst Röhm last night in the SA. Well, the SA mm-hmm. were the brown shirts who propelled Hitler to power. They were bullies and thugs. But once they had outlived their usefulness, Ernst Röhm got dead in a real hurry. Because there was a power struggle between the SS and the SA.
Right.
And the SS won.
Well, you know, they were always set up to win anyway. I mean, I don't think they were ever going to cede power because of the way they were too close to, you know, that guy.
So the oligarchs will let the theocrats have their state of Gideon, and the theocrats mm-hmm. will be okay as long as the oligarchs stay out of the religion business and stick to the money. But if conflict happens there, that's where they'll begin to eat themselves. But that's way, way, way out. Right now they're right now they're completely in love.
All right. So why is Nancy Pelosi not even talking about impeaching this career criminal? I mean this shit. I'm not being hyperbolic. This career criminal that we have for an attorney
general.
Well,
because right now, what you do instead of talking about impeachment some more, and they quietly are talking about impeachment some more. They've said it in open court. As justification for upholding the judge's order that compelled adherence with the subpoenas. But what you do right now is you talk in terms of, hey, look what he did today. Don't you feel great about voting to acquit him? Don't you feel great about that not guilty vote? How's that working out for you? And they're doing it to the Republicans day in and day out. They're doing their best to hang the millstone around their necks and let it pull them under the waves in November.
Yeah, well, you know, there was an interesting article in Vox about Washington Journal yesterday. I don't know when they posted it because, you know, they keep stuff up for a minute. But they were talking about, you know, everyone feels, I'm still hearing that this is a witch hunt.
And you're never not going to hear that. Especially in places where you are and like where I am. because they're not capable, because all too many people are incapable of critical thought and instead merely parrot what their God Emperor tells them to say. This is part and parcel of what I was talking about earlier when I said in a different context, I vote for candidates, I don't worship them. Okay? They do. They worship this monstrosity. What he says is law. He is like a deity to them. And so that's why it's going to continue.
He pulled
12,000 people in Manchester, New Hampshire the other night. Bernie pulled in 7,500. He lost New Hampshire in 2016. And blamed it on those illegal aliens from Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. That was a LePage guy, right? Or the LePage governor.
Maine.
No, that was Maine.
Lady B says open. Lady B says open, wipe, discard. That is what I've been screaming about the whole time. Trump is cleaning with bleach, and he's throwing everything out of the house, and that includes your antique Pokemon card collection. I have no idea why all those top military officials, much less civilians, wanted to stand so hard for him. I can't believe that they didn't think that this man would toss them aside. They were not his friends before he was president, and they damned won't be afterwards. He doesn't have any friends. There are only people who are useful to him and people who are not. These are people that Trump felt like were always trying to keep him down. He's burning bridges left and right. But and I agree with what Lady B says there, but it is not pure chaos. There is a method to it. There is a plan to it. And that's why people like John Bolton and John Kelly and James Mattis and all the rest of them went to work for him, because he was doing things that they essentially believed in.
I agree with that.
You know, how many eons ago was it that Grover Norquist told Republicans that the goal was to make government small enough to drown it in the bathtub? They hate the idea of government. The only government they want is government that they can use to help enrich themselves. And it really is that simple. They want a government that can be a life support system for the military-industrial complex, because war is good money. But they damn sure don't want a government that can keep poor people from starving to death or freezing to death or being drowned in storms or blown away by it. No. That's not necessary government. And that's the very beating heart of libertarianism. The libertarianism that has gotten all over the Republican Party and has, for all intents and purposes, become the Republican Party.
Well, okay, so what's going to happen when, you know, if this virus, this coronavirus, you know, gets crazy over here? Because it's hard to contain. I mean, this is we're a global, you know, everything's connected now. And you know, we don't live in a bubble. We don't live in a bubble. Just because you live in that gated community doesn't mean you're protected. That's money. That's. I mean, what are they? I don't understand how they think. That's it. I don't.
I know.
Well, anyway, that was really my one question, and it's just painful. It's just so damn painful. Now I'm giving. Yeah, of course we have to give up on the president because he's mentally ill and he's got no goddamn. He's stupid and mentally ill. It's a terrible combination. But he has the people around him that know they're going to, you know, Machiavelli, and they're going to get what they want out of him.
Yeah,
and they're going to toss him to the curb. They're going to chew him up like some dip, and spit him out in a little rusty can. Because he's not looking well.
Well, and I still haven't seen a follow up to. Still haven't seen a follow up to the where did Trump go at 3 o'clock this afternoon story.
I don't know a thing about that. I've been just tied up all day. What is that about?
I don't know. About 3 o'clock this afternoon, there he had nothing on his calendar, and the next thing you know, he's leaving the White House in a limo.
Maybe he's having some cardiac issues. Who knows? I'm just mainly right now, I'm concerned about this attorney general because he has way too much power. He has way too much power. He's got to go.
And there are people out there talking about impeaching him. But guess what? They wouldn't take him down either. So, actually, with what he said today, he's making an enemy of Trump, but Trump can't do anything about him because Trump is scared of him because Bill Barr knows where the fucking bodies are buried.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh yeah. Oh God, yes. He knew from the beginning. That's why he lied during his Senate confirmation. Remember he paused and he was asked about foreign influence? He was like, well, I don't know. I'd have to see what, you know, the case. I don't know. He couldn't just say, no, it's wrong. He could not say that. He did not say that, I should say. Well, I don't know what's going to become of us. Because we're not good. Who do we have that's going to beat this fucker? Man, we're looking weak and beat the fuck up.
Well, it's a long way to it's a long way to November. And shit, we just got to get through the primary process first. But the thing is, it's not who do we have that'll beat this fucker. It's how badly do we want to beat the fucker. How thoroughly willing are we to get behind whomever the nominee is and bust our asses for it? You know, the Hilarians who are still angry at Bernie, if Bernie's the nominee and they don't get solidly behind Bernie, then it's on them and they want 4 more years of Donald Trump. If the burnouts don't get Bernie for their nominee and they go and you know, Achilles-like sulk in their tents, then Trump's second term is on them. If the precious, beloved centrists don't get active and eagerly and loudly behind whomever the nominee is, it's on them. If the Democratic Socialists don't get eagerly and actively behind whoever the nominee is, it's on them. And that's a way of saying in a roundabout way, Todd, it's on us. It is not on a candidate. It is on us. It is a question of how badly are we, how thoroughly determined are we that this man must not spend not one goddamn minute longer in the White House than possible. That's on us. It's not on the media. It's not on the politicians. It's not on the candidates. It's not on Trump. It's on us. Or am I wrong?
No, I think that sounds great. I'd like to hear someone on the stump say that. I like the way you were very succinct and clear with what you just said. Yes, you were. And you got to the point. Like, are you angry? Have we had enough? What is it going to take?
Well, is it all just political theater, or is he really a threat, an existential threat to the Constitution? I'm convinced he is an existential threat to the Constitution, the Republic, and the future of the planet, and or the future of the country, and the future of life on Earth.
How can he not be? How could he not be?
I'm convinced that this country and this world cannot stand 4 more years of him. And it gives me the fantas just thinking about what kind of evil he can accomplish between now and January 20th. Like Flavio said, why are we so sure there will even be an election? But we have got to act and behave as though there will be an election, because if we just go, fuck it, there ain't going to be an election, that too winds up with Trump 2.0. And if you think he as an unchecked power now is a spreading virus, his second term will be a pandemic. Plain and simple. Well, I was going to knock off early, but I didn't after all.
Well, I didn't know. I had to run into the score. Anyway. Wow. I wish you would say what you just said to the leading candidates on our side. Because, I mean, you just broke it down. I mean, come on. This is not that complicated. It doesn't matter. Whoever our team,
But the thing we got to remember is this is not complicated. This is Republican politics 101. Because the nature of this country is such that the only way a Republican ever becomes president is when people who aren't Republicans don't show up.
There's more of us than it is of them.
If he gets a second term, it won't be because he ran an awesome campaign or he had an overwhelming number of voters. It'll be because our side let it happen. And I refuse to be party to hiding from that reality. And I refuse to pretend anything otherwise.
Oh, okay, let me add another layer to that to try to strengthen this with a layer of veneer, a strong cross-cut veneer, right? So people who believe like we believe, our Floridian brothers and sisters and everyone, we need to put pressure on the state of Florida to their governor to release. What county got flipped? What county was literally flipped or manipulated in a terrible way that they had to seal it up? The federal government said, no, we can't let this out. Because that would dispel all this other nonsense, these lies, this misinformation, disinformation, all that shit. Because you still have people talking about what Russia, you know, they just listen to him. Like you said, he's the God Emperor, you know, living vicariously through him. You know, but that is real. That's real. That's on the books somewhere. You will not be able to release what county in Florida got flipped. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I do. And I think some of that work is underway. There was just a victory in Georgia. Greg Palast, I think it was Bob in Baltimore that told me about this. Greg Palast worked with Stacey Abrams, and they beat Kemp's ass in court, and now he has to open up his entire voter suppression files from when he was Secretary of State.
Good. Let me tell you, that woman is, Stacey Abrams is one of the most competent politicians I've ever seen in my life. That woman, if she doesn't know something, she'll say, well, I don't know, but I will find out. She is very methodical. She got railroaded.
Yeah, and
so it has nothing to do with me.
And so did Gillum in Florida.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it is an unassailable fact. The governor of Florida is governor of Florida, thanks in part to a whole bunch of Nazi robocalls. He owes his governorship to Nazis. Plain and simple. Same can be said of Trump. And of course, you know, I'm the one who says we've got a lot bigger Nazi problem in this country than most people are willing to even ponder.
Yes. Yes. Keep up the great work.
I'm trying. And, you know, as long as we can keep the lights on, we'll keep the radio going.
And by the way, Frontier ought to be paying you. By the way.
They're bankrupt. They can't pay anybody.
You got to run a fiber optic line from North Alabama up to where you are, man.
If there was some way of having it, I damned well would in a minute. Well, man, I'm gonna knock off here. You have yourself a good evening. We'll all sit around and wait for some decent goddamn weather, you know, whenever that may be.
Okay.
Cloudy and 36 here. We get down to 21 tonight. Tomorrow we get down to 15.
Oh, well, on top of all that wet earth.
Yeah.
Woo.
Right.
How much propane do you have?
Not enough.
I was hoping that was not going to be the answer.
But hopefully I'll be able to go out and reload the tank and then reload the little reusable bottle that Tom, now of Sunny San Rafael, sent a couple of years back. That thing's come in real handy. And it saves a right smart amount of money, too.
Hmm.
All right, man. Well, have yourself a good evening, and we'll gin up some food porn soon.
Yeah, absolutely, and the best to you and yours and all that stuff. And all right, hang in there, and you're doing a great job once again.
All right, thanks, man. Have a great evening. Later.
You too.
Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan, and lo and behold. Got 3 hours in after all. I'm still going to call Frontier and see if I can talk to tech support. So thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks especially this evening to those of you who helped knock out some of the backlog. That would be, among others, thanks to John, and for the Have a Show on Me, thanks to Joan. Thank you both very kindly. And so we
go into tomorrow with a $275 fundraising goal. Hopefully that's not too miraculous. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, however you so do. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.